Okay, we're beginning here on the top of Samachet Amud Aleph with the new Perek. Some of this is familiar to us because we actually saw it back on Daf Nun Hey. The discussion here revolves around two psukim, one of which was found in this week's Parsha, in Parshat Mishpatim, which is the Pasuk of Anshei Kodesh Tiyun Li, Ubasar Basadeh Treifa Lo Tuchelu, Lakelev Tashlichun Oto. This Pasuk has numerous implications because it's taken in a much broader sense. That is because you could have written basar treifa lo tochelu lakelav tashlichu noto. Why does the pasuk conclude basar basadeh? So basadeh means, according to the Gemara, we're going to see the drasha later on, that it means anything that goes outside of its boundaries. So that means that anything that leaves the boundaries that are governing the ruling of that basar, that means by kodoshim, if you need to be in the azara, you leave the azara. If you need to be inside of Yerushalayim, you leave Yerushalayim. Or, in our instance, we're going to see, it means that if you're outside of the womb of the animal, then you're considered to be treifa, in that it's not nitar, and then it's basar basadeh, treifa lo tochelu. You can't eat such meat because it's left its boundaries. That's one pasuk. The other pasuk that we're going to look at today is one that's found in Parshat Re with regards to kashrut. And over there it says, v'chol beima, mafreset parsa, v'shosat shesa shtei perasot, malat geira bebeima, Ota tochelu. So the Gemara is going to dash from the pasuk. It says chol beima, and then later on the pasuk says ba beima, inside of the animal. And from here, the Gemara is going to learn that an animal that is inside of another animal is nitar ayudei the shechita of the primary animal. So that means that if you have a mother with a fetus inside of it, you shech the mother. The fetus is nitar ayudei the shechita of the mother. That's because anything ba beima, anything that's inside the animal, also is nitar ayudei the shechita of the mother. So if you combine these two things together, it's going to give us the discussion that we're going to have today, which is that an animal inside of another animal is nitar yedei shechita of the primary animal of the mother for the fetus. But if the fetus exits the mother in any way, then it's basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu. It's already left its mechitzot. The mechitzot for this fetus is the mother's womb or inside of the mother. If it exits from the mother, then it's no longer nitar ayedei the shechita of the mother. Those are the two key psukim that we're going to look at, and that's what the Gemara is about here. Beima hamikasha leleid, an animal that's having difficulty giving birth. Otsia ubar et yado, and the fetus extends its arm outside of the womb of the animal. Vechziro, and then took it back in. Mutar v'achila, then you're allowed to eat it. Over here, it's unclear as to what the mutar al-akhila is referencing. Is it referencing the ubar that's still inside, that never left? Or is it referencing the hand that went out and went back in? It could be either of those. That's what the Gemara will discuss. Otsi et rosho. On the other hand, if the animal that's internal to the mother got its head out, apo bishech zero, even though the head went back in, harizeh ki yolod. That is considered as if it was birth, and it's as if the entire animal left the mother. So even though it was only a single aver that left the mother, nevertheless, if it's the head, that's considered to be the primary aver, the primary part of the animal, and it's as if the animal left entirely. Choteich meubar shebemeeha. If one went inside the womb of the mother and cut off the fetus that was inside, then shechted the mother, mutar ba'achila. That's still considered to be ba'beheima. Anything inside of the mother is considered to be a part and parcel of the mother, and therefore when you shecht the mother, you're going to be matir that which is inside of her. Minatchol uminaklayot, on the other hand, if you cut off from the spleen or from the kidneys, asur ba'achila, that is problematic. This is what we quoted back on Daf Nun Hey Amud Aleph, which is that here, if you cut off the tchol and you cut off the klayot, they are otherwise what is known as aver minachai. You're not cutting off the fetus or cutting up the fetus, you're cutting up the organs of the mother and then leaving them internal to the mother. If you shech the mother at that point, that's not matir, those evarim that already have been separated. They never left the mother. They're still inside the mother, but they're not covered by bab beheima. And the Mishnah will lay out the principle here, which is zaklau. Davar shebegufa asur. Anything that is an integral part of the mother's body, it's the mother's body itself, then if you cut it, if you shech the mother after that, it's not going to help you to remove the problem of Eivar Min HaChai. Sheina gufa, anything that does not belong to her body, meaning the fetus, anything that's a separate entity, Then if it's inside the mother, mutar ayidei the shechita of the mother. That's why the fetus, if it's cut up, is nitar ayidei the shechita of the mother. On the other hand, the mother herself, any organ or any part of the mother herself, would not be nitar ayidei the shechita of the mother once it's separated away from the mother. Even if it never left the mother, but it's just been cut away from its normal place of growth, that already makes it into a problem. Rashi claims over here that the tchol and the klayot were picked because that's what the Gemara says back on Nunhei Amud Aleph. They don't make the animal into a treifa. So you're able to cut those pieces and still have the animal be ksheira. If you cut off something or a limb that makes it into a treifa, then forget about those organs. The entire animal is not going to be kasher because then you have a treifa as an animal. Right now we have a statement here which is going to carry us through the first amud and a half. And then we have a dissenting opinion after we reach through this opinion, which is Zomer Yudah Marav, Ve'ivra Atzmo Asur. So he takes the question that we know to the Mishnah and gives you the answer. When the Mishnah says, Mutar Ba'achila, we said we don't know if it's referencing to the animal that remains inside or to the Eiver that extended out. So here, Rabbi Yudah Marav gives you the answer, Ve'ivra Atzmo Asur. The Eiver that went out and went back in remains Asur. The only thing that is Mutar is the remaining Behema, Maitaima. What's the reason the aver is a sur? Amakra, basar basadeh trefa lo tochelu. That's the pasuk that we quoted before from Parshat Mishpatim that tells us that if you leave your mechitza, then you are problematic. Kevin shiatzar, basar, chutz mechitzato. As soon as it leaves its boundaries, boundaries here mean the mother, ne'asar, it becomes problematic, and returning it into the body of the mother is not going to help you at this point. Once a trefa, always a trefa. You can't clear that up, you can't remove that. It's not our Mishnah. An animal that's having difficulty birthing. The truth is that even if an animal's not having trouble birthing and this happens, the din would be true. The Mishnah is just speaking about the case where it's most likely to happen or something like this is going to happen. And it stuck its hand out. And took it back in. Mutar ba'achila. So again, that's cryptic in terms of what the antecedent of mutar ba'achila is because it's not clear if it's going on the behemah or the arm. My lava aver. So you could read it that it's going on the limb itself. My answer is lo, a'ubar. It's going on the fetus. The fetus is mutar. The hand that extended out is not mutar. I a'ubar, my iria hechziro. Then if it's about the ubar, why does it matter if he took it back in? Afilo lo hechziro nami. Even if it left it out and never took it back in, it would still be true. The bigger chiddush here, if you were going to tell me that the fetus is mutar, is not to say that it took its hand back in and then the fetus is mutar. The bigger chiddush would be to say that the hand remained out, and the fetus is still mutar. So why are you telling me that the case is a case where it pulled it back in, when if it left it out, it would also be true that it was mutar, and that'd be a bigger chiddush. Where it says, Hu adin, afagav delo yachziro. The truth is that even if it didn't take it back in, the fetus would be mutar. Va'aydi dekabai mitna seifa, since in the latter part over here, they have to write hotziyat rosho, afa pishe yachziro. Over there, when the head goes out, and then goes back in, Harizeki Yolod, over there the chiddush is that even when the head went back in, it's still considered as if it gave birth. Tananami Reisha, zero. And therefore, the Reisha just paralleled the structure of the Seifa. So in the Seifa, it's important, the Hech zero, because there it's a bigger chiddush. It's considered to be as if it birthed, even if it takes its head back in. Now, had it not taken its head back in, it would have been more obvious that, of course, that's considered to be a birth. But here the chiddush is that even when it took its head back in, it's classified as a birth. And then using that structure, you go back to the Reisha and you say, we give the same case, the case where the hand went out and went in. Even over there, the bigger chiddush would be if it was left out. But since in the latter case of the Seifa, it's important to say that, then we keep that as Davka, and the Reisha is Lav Davka. The Seifa, Maika Mashmalan. So then, what's the big chiddush of the Seifa? The Kevin Shiatzar Rosho Haviyala Leida. So the Seifa is teaching you that once the head leaves the womb of the mother, that's classified as a Leida. That's not new information. Tanina. We have already a Tanaic work, a Mishnah in Bechorot, that tells us, Ezu Bechor Nenachala, what's classified as a Bechor for Nachala, Ve'enu Bechor LeKohanim, and is not considered a Bechor LeKohanim. This we'll spend a lot more time on when we get to Masechet Bechorot, but there are two firstborn dinim that are important. There's a firstborn din, which is in terms of Pidyon Bechor, the necessity to redeem the Bechor and pay the money to the Kohen. There's also a firstborn, Bechor Lenachala, who has the right to inherit the father. He gets the double portion in the Yerusha. The qualifications for each of them are different. That which is a Pidyon Ben is someone who is Peter Rechem. He's the first one to exit the mother in a natural birth, first one to be born. Truthfully, so the Peter Rechem can happen even if the fetus is not alive. That could be the Peter Rechem, and then the one that's born afterwards would not be a Bechor. You can have all sorts of situations and scenarios, which we'll discuss in Bechorot, whereby whatever is born first, even a miscarriage, could then disqualify the second child that is born, or the fetus that comes afterwards, from being classified as a Bechor Lekohanim, because it's Peter Rechem. And if something else was Peter Rechem already, then the next one to come is not considered to be Peter Rechem. Now then, Bechor Lenachala says, Tihu Reshit Ono Lo Mishpata Bechorah. He's the firstborn of the father, not of the mother. So that's the first difference. Peter Rechem is clearly defined by the mother. By Reshit Ono, it's got to be the first strength of the father. The Gemara Darshan's over there that Reshit Ono from the word Aven, which means to have an attachment to the baby, to this extent that if something happens to the baby, the person would be devastated or would affect the individual. So therefore, it's only a, what we call a bar kayama. It's only a child that is a viable entity that the father becomes attached to, by which if it passed away, then the father would be affected by it. And in that sense, you become the bechor lenachala. So therefore, if you have a miscarriage, you have a fetus in stillbirth, then neither of those will qualify as bechor lenachala, and the one who comes afterwards will be the bechor lenachala, because the father was never drawn to the baby. And the truth is that even if the baby is born alive, if it's not a viable entity, then there still is no connection between the father and the child. We'll speak about this much more in Bechorot, but for two reasons, one of which is the mother's connection to the baby is much more natural because she's giving birth to the baby. The father's connection is a much more of a developed connection, and so therefore you need to establish a relationship, as well as I would just overlay on that, that in their day, the infant mortality was so high that people were probably a little wary in terms of connecting with young children. Gemara speaks even about the possibility of not having a velut, or not having any sort of proper funeral for a baby that is born prematurely, or a baby that dies very early on and never had a chance of being viable. All of those because it was just such a common happening in their time. So similarly, if a father is not going to have expectations, if many of these babies die, his expectation won't be raised if he thinks it's going to be a viable entity. So for that difference, now we're speaking about a Mishnah, which is, here is an example of a Bechor that will be Bechor LeNachala. It will be the firstborn in terms of Nachala, Veinu Bechor LeKohanim, but it will not be the firstborn in terms of the Peter Rechem. Haba Achar Nifalim. Someone that comes after a miscarriage. After a miscarriage, the miscarriage was Peter Rechem, so there's no longer Bechor LeKohanim. The father had no attachment to the baby, so there's still a Bechor LeNachala, the next baby that comes afterwards. Av Abishi Yatzaro Shokai. Even if it came out when it was alive, meaning the head exited while it was still alive, or if you have something that came to term and it was born as a stillbirth, there also that Peter Rechem happened, but Bechor LeNachala did not happen. That's only true because it exited when it was already passed away. It was a stillbirth because it was at 9 months. It's also an important factor according to Chazal. If you don't reach maturation, then the baby is not, or the fetus is not considered to be viable. And therefore, even if it's born Rosh Chai, it doesn't matter. The father doesn't assume that that child will survive. If it comes to full term, and then it's born, so now he said if it's born as a stillbirth, then there's no attachment of the father. Implied in that is, how Rosh Chai, if it came out with its Rosh Chai, haba acharav, b'chor l'nachala, namei lo havi. Then the father would have been attached to that baby, and the baby that's born afterwards wouldn't even be a Bechor LeNachala, because the baby went to full term and was born alive. And all we said that came out alive was Rosho Chai. Its head came out. That indicates to you, Rosho Chai, if it exits, that's considered to be a birth. So I have that explicitly in a mission of Bechorot. What are you doing for me over here, telling me that when the head comes out, it's considered to be born? That we already have an explicit mission about. B'chitei mashminu me'adam. If you want to tell me that sugya in Bechorot, with regards to the Mishnah, there's talking about human birth. Over here, our Mishnah is speaking about an animal birth. So maybe there would be a distinction. And so therefore you need to give me the information about both of them. Da'adam bebeima lo yolif. Because in general, we wouldn't learn a person from beima. Da'ain puzdora the beima. Because a beima does not have a channel. This is interesting only because it's not true. And the fact that the terminology puzdor is used other places in Shas to mean the birthing canal. So it's saying here that humans have a birthing canal and animals do not have a birthing canal. This happens not to be true at all. And Rashi already notes that and points out that the usage of the word over here of puzdor, and Tosafot makes a case for this, is not similar to the use of puzdor other places in Shas. It's not a reference to the birthing canal. Ravir, rather, it's a reference to the thighs of the woman, which is that there's a difference between human birth and animal birth, which is that even a human birth, even after the fetus has exited the woman, it's not visible, the fetus, because the thighs of the woman cover the baby. So that's what it means, puzdor here. Puzdor means that maybe you would have considered human birth differently, because even by human birth, once the fetus has exited the mother, it's still not exposed, really. It's still not open because the mother's legs cover the baby. On the other hand, by behema, as soon as it exits the mother, it's completely visible because there are no thighs, in a sense, to the female behema, and therefore it's visible immediately, the baby. So that's a distinction. So we're not going to learn Adam from behema. What's true by behema may not be true by Adam. Just because something is considered at birth by an animal, by a mother, maybe would not be considered at birth because of this problem that the mother's thighs cover up the baby. And vice versa. Ubehema me adam lo yalfa. And an animal you wouldn't learn from human beings, dechashi partzuf panim didei. Because by human beings, the face is considered to be of primary importance. By the animal, it's the entirety of the behema. By the human being, the face, the head, the features of the face are considered to be something of extreme importance. It's what defines the individual as being unique in many senses. And therefore, it takes on added importance. So you could have seen saying that by an Adam, the head coming out is considered to be the Leida because it's so important. By Behema, maybe that would not have been enough. So now, what we're suggesting over here is that if you're teaching me over here about a Behema, because you couldn't have learnt it from Adam, which is found in the Mishnah and Bechorot, so that's the reason that you wrote that, Hanami Tanina. That also we have a Mishnah that tells us this information already, which is that it equates Adam and Behema with regards to the head coming out. And that is a Mishnah upcoming, which is Shilyah, Shiatzta, Miktzata. If you have an exit of the placenta, or at least a portion of the placenta that exited, Asura Ba'achila, then that which remains inside of the mother will be Asur Ba'achila, Kesiman Vlad B'isha, Kach Siman Vlad B'Behema. Because the same way that birth by a human being is classified, so too is the birth by an animal classified as a birth. So even though there are other areas where we do not say that, that what's true by human beings is true by behema, this is one of the places where it is the same. So there's an underlying assumption that by an exit of a shilyah, the placenta leaves, that a fetus has to go out with it. I mean, at least a portion of the fetus has to be incorporated in the placenta. The only question is, what part of the fetus went out with that placenta that exited from the mother? So now, given that, we're saying that the din by the behema is the same as the din by the human being. And what the Mishnah indicates is that by the human beings and the behema, the siman is the same. By shilyah, if you have a partial exit of the shilyah, just like by a person, that would already have a classification as if there was a birth, because we don't know if the head left or didn't leave, so we're going to assume it probably did leave, and therefore it creates a safek, which we're going to then assume there was a birth, if that is the chumrah, so too by behema. We're going to assume when the shilyah goes out that the head possibly left with that shilyah, and if that's the case, there was a birth over here. What that shows you is, at least with regards to head leaving, with birthing, both of human beings and behema, we consider the din to be exactly alike, and then the head being born is classified as if there was a birth. If that's the case, what chiddush are you teaching me in this Mishnah? This Mishnah is telling us that a head that went out, that's considered to be a birth. That's not enough information to make it significant that you would write a Mishnah with regards to this. Now, once we know that, if you tell me that taking the head back, taking the arm back in the ratio is of significance, tana seifa to ratio. Then the latter half of this Mishnah was just brought because of the resha part of it. Eli amart lo the resha dafka. Below the seifa dafka, the resha wasn't dafka because it doesn't matter whether it stayed out or went back in. And also in the Seifa, it doesn't even really matter whether it was out or in, because we know that a head coming out is a birthing situation. Then why bother writing hex zero at all? Why is hex zero significant in our Mishnah? Doesn't matter for the arm, and it doesn't matter for the head. And you're telling me, oh, it's come to teach you that a head that went out is considered to be a birth. That's a significant item, even when it goes back in. That we already know. We know that both from the Mishnah of Bechorot by Adam, and the Mishnah later on here in the Masechta that says Adam and Behemah have the same consideration or classification with regards to birthing. And as Tosafot says, the hex zero part of it, which is somewhat of a chiddush over here, that by itself is not of enough reason to write in the Mishnah. You wouldn't have written the Mishnah just to tell you that one little piece of information, that hex zero, that taking it back in is still considered to be a birth. That's a secondary, ancillary type of information that if you had reason to write it in the first place, then having that additional information would be something that worthwhile. But if you don't need to tell me about the head being born is considered to be a birth, then to bring a Mishnah just for taking the head back in would not have been a reason to write a whole Mishnah. So the Gemara says, look, the olam aubar, it's going on the ubar. Now we backed away from saying that it would have been what we said here is the arm going out and going back in. Makes it sound like the arm is mutar when it goes back into the mother's womb. Otherwise, what's the significance of writing it? We're going back to our original assumption that speaking about the ubar, speaking about the fetus, and the fetus itself is mutar. You said to me, what's the chiddush if the fetus is mutar? It never left. So why should it be asur? And my answer is matkom akatach. Now we're going to quote from a situation of Nachum HaYitzchak, which is going to take us some time to get to, but the Gemara will get to the original statement of Nachum HaYitzchak, but Hachanami, in our case too, lo nitzuch ala makom chatach, to tell you the place of severing is considered to be okay. The limb that left the animal is, according to Amuda Merav, asur. The remainder of the animal that stayed inside is mutar. The problem is now you have to sever that limb from that which is inside. When you sever the limb, what is the classification of the area that you sever? Is the area that you sever considered to be in or out? I mean, that crossover. Make it easy. Say that it's extended its arm out right to the point of the shoulder. So then you would have to make a cut at the shoulder. And that cut, then the arm that was outside is clearly asur. The rest of the behemah inside is mutar. What about the place you're cutting, where you make that severing? What's the status of that piece right there at the point of severing? So what we're saying here is that there's a nafkamina between whether the arm remained out or the arm went back in. If the arm remained out, then not only is the arm problematic, but makom achatach, the place where you sever it, is also problematic because it remained outside. On the other hand, if it retracts the arm, then the only thing that's problematic is the arm itself. Makom achatach was inside then when you did the shechita, and for that reason it'd be mutar. And that's what the Mishnah is coming to tell you. When it says mutar ba'achila, telling you, not only is the ubar mutar b'achila, but the chiddush is that even the makom achatach, the place where you're going to sever it from the part that is problematic, that part is considered to be okay. Tashma, behema mikasha leleit, an animal that's having difficulty giving birth, utzi ubar et yado, v'echzira, v'achakach shachat et imo, that it stuck its hand out, brought it back in, and then shechted the mother, mutar b'achila. Shachat et imo, on the other hand, if you shechted the mother, v'achakach echzira, asur ba'achila. Then it's asur ba'achila. Hotzi it yado v'chatacho. If it stuck its hand out and you cut it off, v'achakach shechat et imo, and then you shechted the mother, shibachutz tamei v'asur, that which is outside is tamei, meaning that it's eiver min achai, and then it turns into a din of nevela, so that's tumat nevela, shibifnim tahor umutar, that which is inside is totally mutar and also totally tahor. On the other hand, if you shech the mother, and then only afterwards did you cut it off, habasar magad nevela divrei Rabbi Meir, then that which is left inside becomes a magad nevela. That which is outside is clearly problematic, but that which is outside remained attached to that which was inside. And that which is inside has a din of ochel, and now you have something that is tamei tumat nevela, that is actually touching that which is inside. Chamim Omrim, Maga, Trefa, Shkuta, that it's not considered to be Nevela, but it's rather touching something that is Shkuta. Rashi notes over here, according to the Chachamim, even though the aver that's outside is clearly Asur, but since it remains attached to the animal when you do the Shkita, that animal that is internal, that becomes Mutar, Ayidei, the shechita of the mother, also successfully is mitaher, that aver that is still attached, midei devela. So it becomes a treifa and not a nevela, and the difference between a treifa and a nevela is whether you have tumah or not. So even though that arm has the classification of a treifa, ubasar basadeh treifa lo tochelu, nevertheless, it's not going to be classified as a nevela. So then, in terms of tumah, there's no tumah here. Treifa doesn't have tumah, except for the fact, and this is what the Gemara is going to tell us later on, that midrabanan, there's tumat treifa for kodoshim midrabanan. So it has an impact midrabanan, not midoraita. That's what it means. The Chachamim say, magat treifa shkuta, that it's considered to be a magat treifa shkuta, which has implications of tumah, but only tumah midrabanan. So now, if you look at the different scenarios that were brought up in this right over here, Tani miha ratio, we look at the ratio of this, hotzi ubarat yadobi akzira, v'achaka shakhat etimo mutar b'achila. If it stuck its hand in and brought it back in, and then you shechted the mother, it's mutar b'achila. It sounds exactly like our Mishnah. My lava eiver, it sounds like it's speaking about the limb itself. It says, lo, a ubar. Speaking about the fetus. Ia ubar, ema seifa. How are you going to read the seifa? If you're speaking about the ubar and not the eiver, how are you going to read the seifa of this? Shechat et imo, v'akakach et zero, shechted the mother, and then it took it back in. Asur ba'achila. It's asur ba'achila. Now, what are you speaking about? Ia ubar, amai asur. Speaking about the ubar, why is it asur ba'achila? When you shecht the mother and then it pulls the arm in afterwards, why does that have any effect on the ubar? The arm, I understand. But the rest of the fetus, why is there any reason to say that it is problematic? Kedama Rav Nachman Bayitzchak. So here, this is like Rav Nachman Yitzchak says. No nitzuch ala makom chatach. Hachanami lo nitzuch ala makom chatach. In Hachanami, it's speaking about the Eiver. And we're going to reference Rav Nachman Bayitzchak again and say that it's the place of the cut. When we say asur umutar, it's not a reference to the limb itself. It's not a reference to the fetus itself. It's a reference to the point where you severed the limb from the fetus. So like in our Mishnah, it said mutar, that means that if it took it back in, it would be mutar. It means the makom hachatach is mutar. Over here, where you're saying it's asur, it's the makom hachatach is asur because the hand remained out at the point of shechita. When it remained out at the point of shechita, not only is the limb problematic, but the place of attachment is also problematic. Still haven't seen Rav Nachman Bar Yitzchak yet. We've only seen him quoted twice to explain the Mishnah and then to explain the Braita that we just brought. Ini, is that really true? We say, ki ate avdime bibei chuzai, atav aita mitnite biyodei. He came from Beit Chuzai and he brought a Braita with him. Parsa hechzir achol, parsot hechzir achol. If it's one and he took it back, you eat it. If it's two and he took it back, you eat it. So now, the reference here is clearly to the pasuk that we quoted at the beginning of the shir, which is, b'chol me'emab mefreset parsa, v'shosad shesa shtei prasot, malet gera be'ema ota tochelu. So we said over there that from Babeheima, we learned that anything inside the animal is classified as being nitari, the shechita of the mother. In that pasuk, it uses the term parsa, and in that pasuk, it uses the term prasot. It has both of them. So now, we have a braita that says the following. Parsa, which sounds like one arm was extended out, then echzir, achol, you can eat it. Prasot, two hands went out, vechzira, and they took echzir, and they took it back in, achol, eat them. My love, hexir parsa, achol parsa. If it takes the leg back in or the arm back in, you can eat it. My answer is lo aubar. It's going on the fetus. Hexir parsa, achol ubar. If it takes the leg back in or the arm back in, the fetus is mutar, the hand that extended out is not mutar. I ubar, ma'ir ya hexir. If you're talking about the ubar, then what do you have to talk about taking it back in? It's irrelevant. I feel lo hexir namid. Even if it didn't take it back in, it would have no meaning. Amar Rav Nachum Bar Yitzchak, here's the original Amar Rav Nachum Yitzchak. Nitzruch ala makom chatach. It's coming to teach you about the place of severing. Where you would sever the limb from the behema, whether that location is considered to be mutar or asur, will depend on whether the animal took it back in or not. And Rashi explains on the Amar Aleph, that's because the makom chatach sat on the verge of the opening of the rechem, and therefore it's not considered to be babehema. It's not inside the animal. It's really on the petach to the animal, and therefore it's not covered by being inside the animal. Whereas if it was retracted, then it would be inside the animal when you shech the animal. On the other hand, the Ran gives a different view here, which is that if you were to take off this limb, then the chatach, the part that is the cut, would be visible to the outside. And anything that's visible to the outside is problematic because then it's basar basadeh treifato tochelu. It's seeing the sadeh. So if you severed the limb, if it was on the outside, then it would be as if it saw the outside, and therefore it would be problematic. If it was retracted inwards, and then you sliced it off, it still wouldn't be seeing the outside, and therefore the makom hachatach would not be a problem. And the Ran does add in the possibility that it's just a gzeret hakatuv, that which is pulled back is considered to be kasher. That's what it means. Parsa, hekzir, achol. It standed one leg and pulled it back in. You can eat it. You can eat it means you can't eat the limb, but you can do is eat the ubar, and you can eat achol. You can eat the makom hachatach. And same thing with prasot. If two legs were extended out, then if they hekzir, if they took them back in, then again, the limbs are not going to be mutar. The animal inside internally will be mutar, but makom hachatach will also be mutar. So that's what Rav Nachman Yitzchak added to us. And that's what we've used now to explain our Mishnah. That's also what we used to explain the Braita before. So we've used Rav Nachman Yitzchak's position three times to tell us that the asur and mutar is not a reference to the limb itself, rather to the makom hachatach. And that's how we avoid the problems of many of these Tanaic works being a problem for the position of Rav Yehuda Amarav. Now the Gemara challenges that and says, wait a minute, Baha Shrei Kroi Konosibla, the Braita brought two psukim, he brought Parsa and Prasot. So my love, why would you need to tell me about this case twice? If you're telling me a piece of information, you only need to tell me about it once. Chad Eiver, v'chad Machom Chatach. One is coming to teach you that the Eiver itself is Mutar, and the other one's coming to tell you that the Makom HaChatach is Mutar. Once you do that, again, you're back to square one, where it's a problem for Yudam Arav, because we're saying the Eiver itself is Mutar. Mar says, lo, Chad Makom Chatach, v'chad Kalut b'mei Para. One of them is to come to teach you about the place of severing. So that'd be one, which would then be in consonance with Rav Yehuda Marav, which is the Aver remains Asur, but the place where it's attached to the body will be Mutar Asur, depending if it retracted the Aver or did not retract the Aver. The other one is for a Kalut. A Kalut means something that does not display the features of being a Mafris Parsa. It doesn't have a split hoof. It has a hoof that is either similar to a camel, similar to a horse. It doesn't have the regular hoof that you would have expected from a behemah sheirah. Now, it's inside of a para. It's a baby that's being born to a kosher animal, but it's displaying features that are not of a kosher animal. Baliba de Rabbi Shimon. Going to Rabbi Shimon, because it's the machloke Rabbi Shimon the Chachamim. If you have a baby that is born that does not display kosher features, but it's coming from a kosher mother, is the animal sheirah or not? So the Chachamim say that it's fine. Kalut. That comes from a para, since it came from a kosher animal, even though it's not displaying those simanim, it is kosher. The other Rabbi Shimon says it's asura, that behemah, because it doesn't display the simanim you would expect. But even Rabbi Shimon, the Amar Rabbi Shimon, kalut ben para asur, even though he says that a kalut that comes from a para is problematic, hani mile hechad yotzel avir olam, that's only if it was born. Aval b'meimo shari, but if it's still internal to the mother, then it is nitari yadei the mother. So when it comes a separate entity, if it doesn't display its own simanim of kashrut, then it is problematic. On the other hand, if it is in the mother, then the mother's shchita can be matri because it becomes an extension of the mother, and then it doesn't need to display its own simanei tara. So then even Rabbi Shimon will agree that that is kshera. So that's what it comes to teach you. The two psukim he called parsa and prasot. So at first we thought means parsa means it stuck one leg out, pulled it back in. Prasod, it stuck out two legs and pulled one back in. That would have been the way that you would have explained it. And then you would have said, now I have two psukim, one to teach me that the Aver is okay, one to teach me the Makom HaChatach. Well, because the Gemara says, no, one is coming to teach you the Makom HaChatach is Mutar, the other one is coming to teach you that even if this is a Parsa, that is not Prasod, when the animal is inside, it is Mutar, because it doesn't need its own Simanim. The Simanim of the mother will be Matirit, and that's even according to Rabbi Shimon. In that way, now, none of these Tanaic works present a problem for Amar Rabbi Yehuda Merav's position. That was from the Bavel Misorah of Yehuda Merav, that Aver that went out is not Mutar when it comes back in. And now we have the dissenting opinion, which is Ula Amar Rabbi Yochanan, which is the Eretz Yisrael view, Aver Atzmo Mutar. He says that the Aver itself is Mutar. If the Aver went out of the mother and then was retracted into the mother, the Shechit of the mother will be Matir. Not only the behemah that's still inside, but even the limb that went out and came back in, it is mutar. Amale Rabbi Yehuda le'ula. So Rabbi Yehuda says to Ula, Rabbi Yehuda being the one who's bringing the Mesorah from Rav in Bavel, and Ula, who's the one who's bringing it from Rabbi Yochanan in Eretz Yisrael, Rav Ushmol de Amrei Tarbayu. Rav and Shmuel both say Aver at Shmuel Asur. They both think maybe that Masor and Bavel is that the Aver is problematic. Samalei, so he says, Man Yoiv Lan me Afra de Rav Shmuel, Umalinan Ainin. Who could bring us from the earth of Rav and Shmuel that we can fill our eyes in with it? That's an interesting expression. It's not clear here, but this is an expression of kavod and saying, well, if only Rav and Shmuel were here, we could hear it from them, and then maybe it would be that way. Or is he saying it more like, the halacha is not that way. Rav and Shmuel are great people, and if we were at their graves, we would take from the earth that's there and put it in our eyes as a siman of kavod. But that makes no difference to the halacha. The halacha is not like them. But it's clear that he's saying that Rav and Shmuel don't matter in the face of Rabbi Yochanan. So, Ella, hachi amar Rabbi Yochanan, this is what Rabbi Yochanan says, akol ayu bichlal, basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu. Everything was subsumed under the restriction of basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu, which is the whole problem here. When something goes out of its mechitza, it's problematic. Kishipiret techa katub gabei chatat, when the Torah specified the din by a chatat shiatzta chutz mechitzata v'chazra asur, it tells you that if a chatat leaves its area, its misgeret, then it's problematic, even if it goes back in. That's learned from the Sukkim in Parshat Shmini, with regards to the completion of the consecration, the Chanukat HaMishkan, where Moshe Rabbeinu gets upset at Aaron of Banav, because they burnt the Seir. And he's asking them, why did you burn the Seir? And over there, Moshe asks a number of questions of them. One of them is, Eva Chatat Penima. If the Chatat was brought Penima into the Eichal, we know that a chatat that is brought into the Eichal, I mean the dam of the chatat is brought into the Eichal, by definition it becomes a nisraf, it has to be burnt. So that's true if it went in. The Gemara learns, if you remember in Zvachim from the word pnima, that it doesn't even just mean that it was taken in, but pnima means that it remained in. It never left the area of the Azara. Because had it left the area of the Azara, it would have had to be burnt. So already over there you have the information that if a chatat leaves its boundaries and leaves the Azara, it would have to be burnt. So why did Chatat leave the world of Basar Basadeh Trefa Lo Tochelu? We know that from Basar Basadeh Trefa Lo Tochelu that a Chatat that leaves its Mechitot would be problematic. Why do I need a separate statement in the Psukim in Shmini to tell me that same information? That's what the Gemara says. Chatatu, Tipirat Rahman of Ba, Aval Kol Mile, Kevin Dahadur, Shari. The Chatat, there's the halacha is that if it leaves and comes back in, it has no relevance and remains problematic. Any other case, if it leaves and comes back in, it would be fine. It's only when it remains out is it problematic. But if it comes back in, then it would be mutar. That's their diuk. It's interesting only because we know one of the principles of Rabbi Shmuel is, davar shiatza min haklal, lo lelameda atzmo yatza, ela lelameda laklal kulo yatza. When something leaves the general principle, it is not to teach you about the item itself, but also to teach you about the principle as a whole. So over here, where a chatat would have been subsumed under basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu, and now you have a separate pasuk telling you a din, it should be that that din is applicable not only to the chatat, it should be applicable to anything in that din, based on that principle of Rabbi Shmuel. The truth is that maybe you could invoke it, but the problem would be you can only invoke it with regards to kodeshim. You probably couldn't invoke it with regards to chulin, because that is a distinction about chatat. Chatat is kodeshim mizbeach. So right, possibly by kodeshim mizbeach, this teaches you the din. If it goes out and comes back in, it has no bearing. It doesn't help you anywhere. Once it leaves, it's problematic. When you bring it back in, it doesn't help. That's true by Kodesh Mizbeach. By Chulin, you can't extrapolate from this. And therefore, the din of Chulin would be excluded. And that means that if you brought it back in to its location, it would be successful becoming Mutar. And that's what Rabbi Yochanan's position is. If the Aver extended out and was retracted, then you shech the mother, the Aver is Mutar, along with the Ubar itself. Meitave. Basar b'sadeh treifa lo tochelu. Ma tamu lomar. What is meant by that pasuk? The fish matzinu b'maiser sheni u'bikurim. By maiser sheni and bikurim, she'afo pish yatzu chutz l'mechitzatan, even though they leave the boundaries where they are bound, which is in Yerushalayim, in that bikurim and maiser sheni need to be eaten in Yerushalayim, even though they leave Yerushalayim, that's not a problem as long as, b'chazru, they come back in, mutarim, you can eat them. The only problem is when they are outside. Leaving in and of itself is not the problem. The problem is that when they are outside, you can't eat them. Once you bring them back inside, they're totally fine. Yochol av zekein. You would think basar basadeh treifa lo tochelu was governed by the same rule. Tamal omar treifa. So it says treifa to tell you that's not true. Now it's not clear what the limud is, but the gist of the limud is very clear. which is that in the case of Bikurim and Maaser Sheni, leaving, it does not make it pasul. All leaving does is disqualify you from eating it during that time period. But when you bring it back in, they're re-qualified and you can eat it inside of your shloim. You would have thought the same thing is true when something leaves its mechitza, but sarba sadeh shreifalo tuchelo, that once it's outside, it's problematic. Once it retracts or is back inside, it's fine. Then the Gemara says, that's not true because of the word shreifa. Gemara says, my Talmudo, what is the limud that you have over here? Amarabo ki shreifa. It's the same thing as the shreifa. Ma shreifa, kevin shenitrefa, shuvin la heter. Just like by a treifa. Once you become a treifa, you can't become ois treifa. Once an animal's a treifa, there's no retracting the treifa. You can't change the status of the animal. Af basar, given shiatsa chutz l'michitzato, shuv ein lo heter. So too, basar that leaves the boundaries in which it's supposed to be in order to be mutar, that means whether by kodeshim, inside the azara, or by kodeshe kalim, outside of Yerushalayim, or for an animal inside the mother's womb, means leaving the mother's womb. Once it's done that, ein lo heter. There's no way to make it mutar anymore. Gemara says, tiyufta de'ula tiyufta. That is a strong refutation of Ula's position here in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, and therefore we would reject that view. You have an explicit braita indicating otherwise, that once it leaves for good, and you cannot bring it back in. It can never be mutar. So obviously that's also supportive of Rabbi Yehuda Amarav's position, but clearly problematic for the position of Ula and Rabbi Yochanan. And as the Balitos will point out, you could have asked questions not only from this Braita, from some of the Braita that we brought before to question of Yehuda Merab, some of those would have presented a problem for Rabbi Yochanan. Then the Balitos would say that they picked this one because it's straightforward and it's clearly problematic, and therefore it is the one they chose to challenge Rabbi Yochanan with. Amar Mar, the Fishim Matzinu B'Maaser Sheni U'Bikurim. So we have a precedent by Maaser Sheni and Bikurim. Where I want to know, Eichad Matzino, where do you find that? I mean, the Braita takes it as a given that Maaser Sheni Bikurim, if they leave, you can bring them back in and everything is fine. Tichtei, because it says, Lo tuchal lechol bisharecha masar degancha, bisharecha hu lo techol, v'yatsa chutz le mechitzatan v'chazru mutarim. So the reasoning is that the only restriction against eating Maaser Sheni and Bikurim is, Lo tuchal lechol bisharecha, you can't eat them in your local area. That means that's the only problem, is don't eat them locally. If they're in Yerushalayim, you can eat them. And that matters not whether they were in Yerushalayim, left Yerushalayim, came back to Yerushalayim. The only thing that matters is that you're not in Bisharecha now. As long as you're not outside of Yerushalayim, you're fine to eat them. That's irrespective of whether they left or went back into Yerushalayim. As long as they're in Yerushalayim now, that's good enough. So that overrides the problem of them leaving, saying that as long as they're back in Yerushalayim, you can eat them. Now, Marova Matnu Hochi. In Eretz Yisrael, they had a different view as to the machlok between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan, which is Rav Amar Yesh Leidale Barim, that when an elim exits the animal, it's classified as Leida, a birth for that, a ver for that limb. Rabbi Yochanan Amar Ein Leidale Barim. There is no Leida for a varim, meaning that when an aver goes out, it's not classified as being born. Since it's not classified as being born, when it's retracted, it's as if it goes back into the animal and is a part of the ubar inside of the animal. My beinayu. What is between them? Now, over here, you could have my beinayu reference to a number of things. You could have my beinayu is what's the nafkamina between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan. That's one possibility. The other possibility is my beinayu, which is what Rashi says is, ben lishna de marova lo lishna kama. What's the nafkamina between the way that Eretz Yisrael formulates it and the way that we formulated it before? Before we had Amar Yehuda Merav, that says that when the Eber goes out and comes back in, it's not mutar. And then you had Rabbi Yochanan saying it is mutar. Then in the second Lashon, you had Rav saying that it's Leidat Evarim. It's as if the Eber was born. And Rabbi Yochanan says as if the Eber was not born. Is there any nafkamina between how you formulate it, between that which is said by the first way we brought it, and the latter way that we brought it in Eretz Yisrael? So it could be asking one of those two questions. Rashi clearly sees it as being a distinction between the Lishonot. The Rosh, on the other hand, says that he thinks that that's not a good way to explain it. Rather, the question here is, what's the difference between Rav and Rabbi Yochanan according to the B'nai Marova? So the Gemara answers, Ike Benayu, the Mesar Miut Eiver Shibifnim. Question is that if you have a portion of an Eiver that's left inside, what is the din? So if you have Rov and Eiver that leaves, what's the din with regards to that which is left behind? So according to Rashi, the first lashon is telling you that according to Rav, so that's according to Rashi, that's the only thing that matters here is Rav's position, because that of Rabbi Yochanan was already undermined by the Tiyufta from the Braita. The question is, what's the difference between Rav in the first Lashon and Rav in the second Lashon? And the answer is, if you have Rov and an Aver that leaves, and a Miut that's left inside. According to the second Lashon, it's as if the Aver was born. Aver that's born is when Rov goes out, it's as if the whole thing went out, and therefore the whole Aver is Asur. Not only the Rov that left, but the Miut that's left inside. But then, according to the first Lashon, it's all about what left and what stayed in. Whatever went out is problematic. Whatever's inside is still good. So that means even if you have the robe of the Aver outside, that robe would be problematic. The meat that's inside would be fine. So that would be the nafkamina between the two Lashonot, according to Rav. Or the nafkamina between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav, if you read it that way, would that be that Kulei Alma, everybody agrees that the Aver that leaves is Asur. Question is, with regards to the part of the Aver that remains internally, the difference between Rabbi Yochanan and Rav is it considered to be a birth. For Rav, it's considered to be a birth, and therefore, when the robe goes out, the miut that's inside is also problematic. For Rabbi Yochanan, yes, that which left is asur, but that which remains inside will remain mutar, because it's not considered to be as if there was a birth of the Aver. So that's the way the Rosh would read it as being a nafkamina. And in that case, Rabbi Yochanan, in this second Lashon, would agree with Rav that that which is outside is asur. The only thing he would disagree about is whether the miut that's left behind is considered to be mutar or asur. Bailu, the Divi Omer ain leida le'evarim, according to one who says that there's no leida fe'evarim, hotziya ubar et yado, if the ubar stuck its arm out, vech zira, and then it put it back in, chazar ve'hotziya et yado, and then it put it out again, ve'hotziya vech zira, and then it took it back in, ad she'ishlumo le'rubo. So different parts of the animal went out and in, went out and in. So along the way here, you're seeing pieces of the animal go out, come in, go out, come in. According to the one who says that it is considered to be leidat evarim, then there's no question at this point you have a leidah, a full leidah of the animal, because over that time period, majority of the parts of the animal have left the animal. Even though now they're all back inside, going back inside makes no difference. But according to the one who says there's no leidat evarim, when you take it back in, according to Rashi, it means that it's totally mutar, according to Rabbi Yochanan, and nothing happened. So that nothing happened, even though you've done this with Rov Evarim, is it still that nothing happened? Or do we say that by this point, since Rov Evarim have left, there's something significant has happened at this point, even though each time one left, it was retracted. According to the Rosh, everybody agrees that the Evarim that left were Asurim. Question is, that which is left behind, is that considered to be Mutar Asur? According to Rav, it's no question it's Asur. According to Rabbi Yochanan, who says there's no Leidat Evarim, once you've had the majority of the Evarim leave and be retracted, then there's the miut that's left inside now automatically considered as if there was a full leida. We still say there's no leida to Evarim and there everything inside is still mutar. So mao, mi amrinan hada nafik le ruba, that the rove left, odilma came into hadar hadar. But once it goes back in, it's a reset. Once you pull it back in, it's as if it resets it and as if it never left at all. Imtim salamar came into hadar hadar. If you think that once it's retracted and pulled back in, according to Rabbi Yochanan, that's considered to be as if it erases anything that happened. Hotzi ubar et yado v'chatcha. If the ubar stuck its arm out and then you cut it off. V'chazar hotzi et yado v'chatcha. And then it stuck its other arm out and then you cut it off. Achi shlimo l'rubo. Until you got to the majority of the evarim that you've now cut off on the outside. Mahu. Again, what's the status of that which is left internally? That which is left already is clearly problematic, is clearly considered to be asur because it left the animal and it hasn't been retracted. Do we say the majority of the animals now left the mother? There's a birth that happened. If a birth happened, then everything inside is also classified as being born. Or the majority have to leave in one shot. In order to be considered a birth, the majority of the animal must leave in one shot. You can't have pieces leave that add up to a rove that won't be sufficient over here. Tashma. So here we have from our Mishnah. Zeh klal. Davar shebigufa asur. Sheina gufa mutar. That which is a part and parcel of the body of the animal, the shechita of the mother, does not release it if it's detached from the mother. That which is not part of the mother, meaning the fetus, is mutar, even though it's quote-unquote detached from the mother. Anything that is inside of the mother will be nitar, and that means if you cut up the animal inside, the limbs will be nitar, you did the shechita of the mother. Atuye mai, that's that klal at the end of the Mishnah. What is that coming to include? Isn't it coming to include this case? this case where the animal stuck out its arms, and then you severed each one of them as it came out, and it's coming to tell you that which remains inside is still mutar, and as if there is no leida. Mar says, lo, le'atuye kalut b'mei para, comes to include that case of an animal that's internal to the mother, that doesn't have the simanei tahara, ba'libe de Rabbi Shimon, similar to what we said before, according to Rabbi Shimon, da'afagav dam Rabbi Shimon kalut ben para sur, even though he says that if you have a animal displaying non-kosher features that's born to a kosher animal, that animal that is born is problematic. That's only if it was born. But if it remains inside the mother, it is mutar, and that's what the Mishnah is chiddush is. This is the principle that as long as it's inside the mother and it's not part of the mother's body, it's nitar yidei shechita of the mother. And so here too, even though the fetus, if it was born, would be problematic, as long as it remains internal to the mother, even Rabbi Shimon agrees that it's mutar, and that's the chiddush of our Mishnah. Okay, we're going to stop here, 6 lines down on the top of Samach Tet Amud Aleph.